All right, everyone, welcome back to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. I am speaking with Dr. Latrice Fowler, who's helping us gain a much better grasp of what internet addiction is about. And so one of the things that is just a question for so many, regardless of what kind of addiction we're talking about, drugs, alcohol, you name it, sex, people want to know, okay, well, who is affected by this? What about this age group? What about that gender? What about this ethnic group? So I want to ask the same question about internet addiction. Which groups are impacted by that?
You know, it's the thing of it, everyone. And you want to know why? It's because you could have someone who's older, who is retired, and they're home all day, and they can just log onto a desktop computer. And then nowadays, you have children as young as 3 and 4 years old, and they have access to an iPad or tablet or smartphone. I mean, I have a 2-year-old, and he has an iPad, and I never even told him how to use it. But, I mean, the kid, he's pulling up Sesame Street and Elmo, Elmo videos, you know. So you really can't even distinguish, you know, between who may be using it more versus who is not, because with the advancement of technology, you know, it's available, you know. Even in Atlanta, I have a heart for the homeless people here. And a number of them, even though they are homeless, that I interact with, that I help, that I advocate for, they're homeless, but they have cell phones. And they can see if they can get on the Internet. A lot of them sit out front of the public library, you know, and they get on the Wi-Fi of the public libraries, and they're on the Internet through a government smartphone. You know, so it's really at the fingertips of the young, the old, the rich, the poor, the, you know, the indigenous. So it's accessible really to anyone.
Mm. And so that access then makes all of these groups equally prone to becoming addicted.
Exactly. Wow. That's exactly correct. Exactly correct. But again, it's what are it for. And if we talk about addiction in general, there's dopamine, right? And
yes.
Dopamine is the chemical, or what we call the neurotransmitter, that's produced in the brain, and basically it responds to the pleasure of the individual, or it initiates the pleasure. So if you have someone who's addicted to heroin, you know, that dopamine is like that adrenaline. You know what I mean? It's like, I need the next fix. Or if you have someone who's addicted to the Internet, it's like, okay, I need to log on. You know, that compulsivity is there because, believe it or not, there's chemistry behind addiction. Whether you overeat or whether you gamble, the dopamine is the same. It's that chemical that says to you, I need this, and I need it right now, and I need it by any means necessary.
So that being the case then, is it a situation wherein people can become addicted to the Internet or become compulsive users of the Internet and not realize that they become addicted or that they become compulsive?
That's exactly right. I mean, you may have someone, you could have what we call a functioning addict. We have people that use drugs, but they get up and they go to work Monday to Friday. They're on time. They work. You know, they contribute, and I don't have to tell you about the opioid crisis. The majority of people who are addicted to opioids are working. You know, they're not just, you know, people who are homeless or people who don't have access. People who are addicted to opioids, the majority of them, they work, they have resources, they're successful in whatever capacity in their lives. So it's the person in the past that may look like, you know, what we consider a traditional addicted person, they don't even look the same anymore. Now you have soccer moms who are addicted to different things. You have people that are small business owners, and they are addicted to whatever they need, you know, to cope. You have celebrities come out and, you know, very vulnerable and share, you know, in different areas that they are addicted to things. So it's not even, you can't look at someone and say, I can tell what you're addicted to. Can no longer do that, you know, because people have gotten very creative with hiding things. And then with the smartphone, there's really no way to tell what activity the person is engaging in. But if you are just isolating yourself, you know what I mean, and if you're spending a lot of time on the internet, if you're not going to work because you are using the internet, you're surfing this site, you're surfing that site, and you just can't function, I mean, that's when we would consider you to maybe have a problem, because you're so distracted by what you're doing on the internet that you can't even function in your environment. You know, you're basically becoming useless. So, and we don't want that, you know.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good point, because you mentioned the people who are functionally addicted. They can go to work and contribute. And when you mentioned that, you brought to my mind a question that I've had with some people who do go to work faithfully, but I wonder how much they contribute. Because I remember when I, you know, some years ago, I was looking at Facebook. In fact, I had an account that I deactivated, but when I was there, I noticed this one young lady who I guess I would take a look maybe once or twice a day. Usually twice would be mm-hmm. my max, because I just don't have a strong interest, to be honest. And I was really doing mm-hmm. it for the radio program purposes. And I didn't know what I was doing, and it turned out to be just social. And in the mm-hmm. process, I began to notice this one lady. When I would open up to see what kinds of responses I'd gotten to the program, et cetera, I would see that this one lady had been sending messages through Facebook. It seemed like almost every 12 minutes. And I mean, during the working part of the day. And I'm wondering, how is she getting any work done? And she's constantly Facebooking.
She has a lot of time on her hands, right?
She does. And I'm thinking that someone who is doing that, and I mean on a regular basis, this isn't just once or twice a month. Mm-hmm. That's what she was doing regularly. Is there a mm-hmm. chance that someone who is in that position may be addicted, or at a point where they're being compulsive with the use?
Absolutely. I mean, even let's take a look at Georgia. It got so bad here that there's now a law in Georgia that says you can't even drive with your smartphone or your tablet or whatnot in your hand. You know, you have to be hands-free. And I know other states have, you know, they've also taken that step to, you know, make it illegal to drive or text and talk, because, you know, people were texting and they were having car accidents and they were killing themselves, and they were so distracted by their phones and by, you know, the internet, I guess you could say, or Facebook or whatever app they were using at the time, or just texting or emailing, that they were not being safe drivers. So it is a problem, whether or not we call it internet addiction or over internet, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But just the fact that now, because you have access to it at literally at the touch of a fingertip, whether you're in your car or whether you're in an office. I mean, my goodness, when the internet first came about, before it was called internet, it was just dial-up. Like, you had to
yes.
be somewhere with a phone, with a landline connection, you know, to get access to the web. Now, you can get access walking down the street, because there's towers worldwide that will pick up a signal and provide you, you know, access to the web. So it's, and I can appreciate the policy behind it, because we want people to be safe. You don't want people driving, you know, checking their mm-hmm. phones. But you do have people. They're at work all day. They're on their computer or their laptop, and then they're walking in their car. No one's looking up. No one's looking in the eye anymore. Everyone's looking down at their phone. So that in and of itself is distraction, even while walking. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I think that it's an issue. Whether or not you're on the internet, just having the access and of a smartphone so much could even be considered an issue.
That is something else. Well, when we come back, can you share some insights with us regarding some of the controversies surrounding internet addiction and some other ways that we may be able to pick up on signs that someone may indeed be addicted to the internet?
I will, absolutely.
All righty. Stay with us, ladies and gentlemen. More from Dr. Latrice Fowler in just a few.